Okay, we'll go ahead and get started this morning. Appreciate you coming and joining us today, a special day, a special speaker and dinner today. So we invite you to join us for that. But we're so glad to have Pastor Joe McNally, his wife Becky, here from way back east somewhere. Connecticut or South Carolina? South Carolina now. They have some roots back in Connecticut where he used to pastor church for many, many years, and I'll let him talk about that. But Brother McNally's going to be preaching for us this morning and tonight, so we look forward to that. We've enjoyed getting to know Brother McNally and his wife Becky and hearing about them, and they're not in Connecticut anymore. They're in Kansas. So welcome to Kansas. Welcome to Wheatland Baptist Church this morning. And I'll just turn over to you, and I'll let you open with prayer, and we'll go from there. Okay.
Good morning. It's pleasant to see that Wheatland Baptist Church is very similar to other Baptist churches that I have been to. You had to get here early to get a seat in the back. Fill right in from fill right in from there, and so you can tell the late arrivers because they make them sit in the front of the church. As Pastor said, my name is Joe McNally, and this is my wife Becky. We have a twofold mission here during Sunday school, and that is to talk about GFA and the interim pastor ministry that we're involved in, and talk about that, and also to talk about ourselves. The more interesting part will probably be talking about GFA than talking about ourselves, but we'll go through that also. We got an application from the deacons back in, I think it was April or something like that, about the possibility of needing an interim pastor because your pastor has retired. And so I got in touch with Tracy, and we began to talk about us coming here and sharing about the ministry of GFA. How many of you are not familiar with what GFA means? Gospel Fellowship Association. It's a mission out of headquarters is in Greenville, South Carolina, and they have missionaries that are all over the world. In fact, I think you support some of their missionaries. Is that correct, Pastor?
Yeah.
Two. Okay. So I don't know very much about that part of the ministry because we were never with them in regard to church planning and missionary work around the world, but there's an arm of GFA that deals with interim ministry. And so whenever a church in the United States is without a pastor in a transition, GFA has some men who have been in the ministry for many years. Most of them are retired from their ministry and go around and serve as interim pastors in churches and try to help the church that's going through a transition from the pastor who's been there for a number of years to helping them to find a new pastor, and then they would go on and go to another church. We joined the ministry in 2020. We joined the mission then, and last August we went to Rochester, New Hampshire, and we were the interim pastors there for till the end of the year, from middle of August till the end of the year, and we helped them to go through the process of finding a new pastor, and the new pastor came in the beginning of January, so obviously our ministry there was done, and so we went on and did a couple of other different things at that point in time. And so the idea of GFA is sort of a multi-purpose kind of thing. One is to fill the pulpit and to do the pastoral ministries that that need to take place whenever the pastor is here. Number two is to help the church to find somebody to work with the deacons and whoever is on the pulpit committee to be able to find a replacement for the pastor, somebody who would be in full-time ministry or full-time pastor of the church. And so we have some ways of doing that. We usually work through a group of churches and Bible colleges that would be in agreement with your doctrinal statement and your beliefs, and look for a person who is either an alumni or somebody who has graduated from the school, and hopefully to talk to them about the opportunity that you'd have here to be the pastor of the church, help with the screening process of what kind of a person are they, helping to go through qualifications, reading through doctrinal statements, and just grasping where they are and what they're doing, those kinds of things, with the idea of finding somebody who would be suitable for the church. And so one of the questions that is always asked in a situation like this is, well, why do we need somebody who's to come and be an interim pastor? Why can't we just get somebody to fill the pulpit for us until we find someone? And so I have a little PowerPoint here I'd like to show you and just talk through it. And if you have any questions as we go along, feel free to raise your hand, shout out, jump up and down, whatever it is that you do to get my attention. And we will try to do my best to answer the questions that you have. So the first question is, the title here is, why should a church have an interim pastor? I got this from a leadership magazine. The guy's name was Chuck Lawless, who wrote these points here. And I'd like to just go through there and explain them, talk about them. The first reason why you'd want to have an interim pastor is gives church time to work through the emotions of the previous pastor's departure. Okay, now, whenever we get to the part of talking about myself and my wife, we were a pastor of a church for 37 years. And over those 37 years, you make a lot of friends, you make a lot of close friends that are in the church. And I was never a pastor who had my friends of other pastors in different churches. My friends were the people that were part of the church. We played golf together, we did camping trips together, all of that kind of stuff. So we were, well integrated into the church. And so the first thing that people said to me whenever I said that I'm going to retire is that they would say, you're too young to retire. You still have more years in you before you retire. We don't want you to retire. What are we going to do when you retire? Nobody can ever replace you because you're the best in the whole world. And I mean, they give me a whole line of things I didn't necessarily believe, but they would say these kinds of things. And I would bet dollars to donuts that you have the same impressions, thoughts, ideas, feelings towards Pastor Terry. Am I right? Everybody shake your head. Say, yep. There ain't going to be one like him again, okay? Right? That's for sure. So, and you can take that in a good way and a bad way. We'll talk to Roberta afterwards and get the other side of the story. But the point is that whenever you go through, whenever somebody who has been a part of your life for a long period of time, whenever they're not here anymore, there's emotional things that go along with that. And one of the emotional things that goes along with that is that we're going to have to change, okay? Now, I know change is not a four-letter word, but it should be, right? Change is something that none of us look forward to and say, boy, isn't it going to be great to be old, and isn't it going to be great to retire, and isn't it going to be great to have this change or that change? And we don't like that. We like things the way they always have been. But did you ever really think about the fact that who is the one that initiated change? Yeah, God did. God initiated change. So if God initiated change, that we should not look at it as something that is bad. We can look at it as something that God has designed, because if we stayed here on this earth forever and ever, we'd never get where? never get to heaven, right? We'd still be here in this wicked, sinful earth, talking about how bad the economy is, talking about how bad the politicians are, talking about, you know, all those kinds of things. But God's got a place, you know, prepared for us in glory, and that's where we're going to go. But to get there, we have to die. So one of the things that an interim minister, pastor does is helps with the emotional changes that go on between the guy that you have loved who have been here many years and the new person who is going to come. It's sort of a buffer kind of thing that we go through some transitions and see the kind of things that, changes that, maybe need to be made. And so, you go through those kinds of things. And so the idea is to help with the emotional struggles. And one of the things that Tracy said, we were talking yesterday, we met with the deacons and I met, and trustees and deacons and I met, and we talked about all of these kinds of things, and we said about, what if we were to change the order of service at the church? If we did something like, I don't have a bulletin on me, but, what if instead of having, a song, and, the offering, and I said, well, what would happen if we would, there we go. What if, instead of having a hymn and then the announcements, what if somebody stood up and did the announcements first? Oh, we can't do something like that. That would be horrible. We can't, put us off the edge. And again, the point is that, it's not a sinful thing to have the announcements first, but it's just, that's not the way that we have done it. And you know that whenever you have a new pastor who is going to come, just by the fact that it's a new pastor, that means that, it's going to be different. It's going to be changed. It's not going to be the same way that Pastor Terry has done it. And so the idea is to have somebody to give you a help through those emotional changes and struggles. Let's go on to the second one. Is an interim can lead the church to move forward during the interim period. Now, normally what happens in churches, I'll give this back to you so I don't mess it up and bend it, or that's all right. Change something in it whenever you're not looking, that kind of a thing. But whenever you have somebody who is just, you have people that fill the pulpit from week to week, and you have people that are just, just keeping things going. The idea is that we're not moving forward, we're not taking any advances. We just have somebody who is filling the pulpit. Now, one of the struggles that you have whenever you're looking for a new pastor is that it takes time for the people that are on the pulpit committee, and according to the Constitution of Wheatland Baptist Church, the pulpit committee will be Terry and Jeffrey, okay? And so if you give them the responsibility of filling the pulpit every week, you give them responsibility of looking after folks that are maybe in the hospital or need to be visited, you give them the responsibility of all the things that pastor has been doing, plus they're looking for a full-time pastor. That's a lot of responsibility on men who have regular jobs that they have to go to and handle. So being an interim pastor comes in and takes some of the pressure off of them in regard to, and that may be repeated in another slide, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm not sure. But the church can continue to move forward in their growth, development, maturity if you have somebody who is acting as the pastor as we go along. Third one is having an interim saves the hassle of finding a speaker for every week. I think I already hit that one, so you're not looking for somebody new. And somebody said that Jeffrey and Tracy, I don't know who said this, but it was mentioned that maybe Jeffrey and Tracy ought to do more preaching. And I would agree with that. That's probably a good idea that they should do more, but they can't do it all the time. They have a life outside of Wheatland Baptist Church. So next one, we'll skip on to that. An interim in place gives a pastor search team space so that they don't have to rush in to take the first person who comes along, gives them some time to be selective in finding not just a person, but the right person that God has for Wheatland Baptist Church in the future. And so taking the pressure off of, you know, finding someone. There was a church that one of our missionaries was, one of our interns was working with in Palmer, Massachusetts. And they had somebody come and the church voted him down. And another man come and the church voted him down. It wasn't until the third person that, you know, that came that they actually, accepted him to be the pastor of the church, and they seemed to think that it's going to be a good fit. But, you know, when you have, pressure of, we need to get somebody because, we're struggling here, an interim helps you to not put so much pressure on finding the very first person who comes along. And so that would be some of the reasons that I would say that having an interim pastor would be good for Wheatland Baptist Church going forward from. And obviously the other thing is that pastor said that he's ready to retire. And so I think you need to appreciate that also, that that's his desire. So questions that you might have for me in stuff I didn't cover, or thoughts about this, how it would work, any of those kinds of things you'd like to ask. And I'm not saying I have the answer, but I will have some kind of an answer, even if it's I don't know. That would be an answer to the question. So, yes, sir.
What's the normal time frame to go through this? 3 months, 2 years, or
the guy who's sort of the director of our part of the ministry, he says it's usually if you're starting with, the beginning of the pulpit committee, a year is about the standard. We were only in Rochester from August till September because they already had a pulpit committee together that was functioning. They had already called one person and voted on them, and as far as the pastor was concerned, there wasn't enough yes votes for him to come. And so they had already had a couple other folks that they were looking at. So that's why it was, we were only there for 3 months because of that. But, you guys are sort of in the beginning processes of that. So it's probably 3 months would be a really, really short time. But again, not that God can't do that. I mean, that's, you got to recognize that, God has a timetable in this whole thing too. And, somebody else had their hand up? Yes, sir.
I'm going to share a little more kind of what GFA's role in what you're doing there, where they fit us together through the application process, some of the terms that they oversee, I guess.
GFA's role. Well, GFA, they seek to put a person who is an interim into the best connected place that the best place that they think would be suitable for them to be functioning. That's sort of what Marsh's job is, to help give direction in those kinds of things. GFA has given us a sort of a guideline kind of thing for a booklet that a man has written on how to put a pastor, or how to go about the whole search process of getting the pulpit committee together, then putting, doing a picture of what the church is like, so that whenever you do have contacts, you can give it to the person who's you're interested in, so they have an overview of what's going on. Give us a list of questions and thoughts that you might want to go through and ask, for the person who is you're interviewing, and those kind of things. So they give you a step-by-step process that we would work through to be able to find, to be able to help us find the person who is maybe suitable for being here to pastor the church. Is that what you had in mind?
Yeah, Okay.
Okay. I wasn't quite sure what the question was, so. Someone else? Yes, sir.
Maybe you attend this later, and that's okay, but I'd like to hear your testimony.
Okay. Whenever we talk about me, then I'll go through that for you.
Okay.
Anything else related to the interim and GFA and that kind of a thing? Wow, you guys are easy. Yes, sir.
I guess I've heard and I've stated that anymore, there's just not a lot of young people going into Bible college to become pastors and missionaries yet. And so, therefore, when pastors get old and retired and this type of thing, it's harder and harder to find quality people because there's just not too many available. They're wanting to go out and earn the big dollars. Young people are. They don't, you know. And is that a true statement?
That is a very true statement.
Can you repeat the question?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. He has heard that there's not nearly as many people that are going into full-time ministry as there has been years gone by. So now when people retire, there are not nearly as many men, families to fill in for the person who is retiring. That is very true. Pastor Hurd, he shared with us the other day that back whenever he was at Bob Jones, and there are other, you know, other Bible colleges doing the same thing, that there were 1,000 men in the preacher boy class, and now they probably have about maybe 100 or something like that. So it's, you know, just that's just one school, and the other schools are very very similar. You don't have as many people that are going into ministry, and so therefore one of my friends was talking to somebody, and he said the pool for pastors coming into ministry is very shallow and very polluted, was his statement. And again, the idea of being polluted is not that these people are terrible, but they may not be a good fit for Wheatland Baptist Church, okay? Because they're, you know, people have different styles of worship and those kinds of things that they want to do and be involved in, and they may not fit here. This may not be, you know, the right place to for them to be. Not that they couldn't serve someplace else. So there has to be a, you know, a fit, you know, not just you know, doctrinally, but also, you know, style of worship and you know, those kinds of things, style of preaching, and, you know, that those kind of things. Someone else? Yes, ma'am. Financial aspects? Sure. The agreement that GFA makes with the church that they are that is going to have an interim pastor is that the church pays for the interim pastor to move from wherever he lives to the church. That the church provides housing with the utilities while they're there as the interim, and then some kind of a salary that the church and the pastor would work out, and then whenever he's finished, that they would provide the finances for them to move back to, you know, wherever their home is. So that's the financial obligations that the church is taking on whenever you'd have an interim pastor. And the pastor's responsibilities would be to come and to be the, you know, the full-time pastor of the church while he was here. Okay. Other ones? Questions? Good questions. Yes, ma'am. I don't have any idea of that. I can't give you a number of that, but I'll put it this way. Probably back when Pastor and I are, you know, pretty come from the same same time frame. Back when he and I were looking, when we graduated from school, we were looking for the church. There was probably 25 guys looking for one church. Okay, so now it's probably 5, 6, 10 churches looking for one guy. It's, you know, it's a different thing. And again, not that there aren't people out there. It's, you know, getting connected with them, and, you know, because believe it or not, the world has probably, you know, the United States of America probably has no idea that Wheatland Baptist Church exists. I don't want to burst your bubble, but, you know, that's just the way it is, you know. I didn't until, you know, a month or two ago. So, again, churches like yours all over the, you know, all over the country. You know, we, our church in Faith Bible Church in Winsted, which is where we were for many years. You know, we weren't known by anybody. It was just, you know, that group of people. So you have to get connected with, you know, with people. And that's, you know, that's all part of the process of calling a pastor, search committee, looking for the right one. And again, you know, obviously, contacts that people here would have would be good. And obviously, you know, praying is the, you know, is the bottom line, that God would provide the person, the right person in the right time. And we were talking about this at one of our meetings, that this transition period is not to be looked at as a bad thing, but looked at as a good thing of, you know, what's God going to do in the meantime? You know, how's God going to use different individuals here, you know, to fill in some of the gaps that, you know, Pastor and Roberta have been involved in for many years. So, other questions? Yes, sir.
You know, of course, I've been here ever since the church was started. It makes it even a little more difficult when my wife and I started the church. It's like Wheatland Baptist Church is Terry and Roberta Pope. You know, because that's all this church has ever done. I don't know. Can you find that to be true, that when someone is planted the church, it makes it maybe even a little more difficult for the transition to take place?
I certainly do, because I know that was the experience that we had in Connecticut. We were there for 37 years, and so there were people that were, you know, that had gotten saved in our ministry. The only church that they had ever known was Faith Bible Church. I was the only pastor that they had ever been associated with. The way we did things at church had to be the right way, because that's the only way we've ever done them. You know, that kind of, you know, that's the mentality that, you know, that many people at the church had, and probably some of you folks are the same way. And so you have this, you know, again, this concept of making a change. But the other thing that happens whenever you start a church is that, you know, you have, as a pastor, you have done everything, you have been involved in everything that has transpired up until that point in time, and it's really going to be hard for pastor to, you know, to let go of the rope. Let go of the chain, let go of, you know, whatever it is that, you know, he hangs on to. It's really a struggle for him. I know I went through that, and it was difficult. But, you know, again, you got to change. You have to move forward, you know, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the church. It's just needs to be something you go through. Yes, sir. That's what we did. Whenever we were thinking about retiring initially, my wife and I bought a house next town over from the church, and we were planning on living there after we retired. But a few years went by, and I became so sick and tired of cold snow, wind, you know, all of that, all those kind of things. I'm sure you don't have that in Kansas. I mean, we've been here for 3 or 4 days, and it's been hot and muggy and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you probably don't have those things. But in Connecticut, you had all those, you know, those nasty things, and I was sick and tired of it. Plus, the cost of living in Connecticut is really expensive, and the amount of money that we had prepared for retirement and the cost of living there was too much. And so that's one of the reasons that we moved down to South Carolina. So whenever we left the church, when the new man came, we stayed for about a month afterwards to do a transition thing, and then we moved to South Carolina. So the answer to your question is yes, we moved totally away. And sometimes, you know, that's the best thing to happen, and other times, my son is the pastor of a church in Detroit, and he was a youth pastor, then he was assistant pastor, and when he was an assistant pastor, the head pastor said to him, why don't you and I trade places? Because he was, you know, getting close to retirement age, and so the two of them switched places. He became the pastor, and the senior pastor became the assistant, and it worked out fine. He did that for 5-6 years, something like that, until he finally wanted to move closer to his grandchildren. So he moved away, and so it all depends on on the situation. And we've talked about this, and I said to Pastor Terry that that really falls upon him, his attitude and response and his, how he looks at things, that he's either going to be a healer and a helper, or he's going to be a knife that, sort of causes difficulty. But, from what I've seen, in talk conversations, his heart is for Wheatland Baptist Church to move forward. So I think it should be great. Anyone else a question? Okay, let's skip on to, I've already shared a little bit about ourselves. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20 is my life verse. It says this: according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I will be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body and in my whether it be by life or by death. And so that's sort of been the way that we've sought to live our lives, that we would give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife and I met in high school, and she was a year behind me. We had our first date on the day that I graduated from high school. So you know that we've been married for at least 20 years since then. And so we got married when we were 19, and we started going to a little church. Well, we continue going to the church that I went to, that I grew up in, and they got a new pastor at this church, and he was a young guy who was preaching the gospel, and just gotten out of the service. He was a school teacher, and so he started preaching at our church and began to, go through, you must be born again, and, teaching us right out of the scriptures that, salvation is a free gift that God wants us to have. And so we had some difficulties with our first daughter who was born a couple of years after we got married. I think 3 years after we got married, we had our first child. And so at that point in time, we realized, at least I realized, that life and death were just were that far away. And I knew the things that I had been learning and studying and hearing at church, that if I died, I was going to go to hell. And so I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. My wife did too, around the same time. And so we got saved. How old is our daughter now? 46? 46. So it was 46 years ago that we got saved. We had an interesting experience that my mother got saved around the same time. My sister got saved at the same time. So all four of us got baptized on the same day. So that was a super day for us. And so we were active in the church, and I knew that I wanted to serve God in some kind of a capacity, but I didn't know what. And so the pastor, I talked to him, and he said, well, one of the ways that you can help to know and understand what God would want you to do would be to, you know, go to Bible college and, you know, understand, you know, more of the scriptures, and be prepared for wherever God wants you to do. So we left Pennsylvania, which is where we grew up and got married. We left Pennsylvania, went to Arkansas, went to Citadel Bible College in Ozark, Arkansas, and graduated from there. We moved back to Pennsylvania again. My dad was real sick, and he was dying at that point in time. And so we moved back to Pennsylvania, and we candidated at some churches, and nobody wanted us because we were young, and we didn't have any experience, and we had never attended seminary. So since nobody wanted us to be pastor, because again, back then there were 25 guys looking for one church, so you know, if you could find somebody who was older than us, somebody who had been to seminary, somebody who had some experience, you know, that was better than, you know, than picking our family. And so nobody wanted us, so we joined the mission called American Mission for Opening Churches, and they work primarily in New England, Pennsylvania, New York, that area. And we joined that, we raised some support, we went to got hooked up with a Bible study in Connecticut that wanted to start a church. And so we moved there in, we had our first service on January 1st of 1984. So we started that that church with, I think we had 25 people at the first service, or maybe 35, I forget what it was. But, you know, pretty well after the first couple of Sundays, dropped down to, I don't know, somewhere in the teens. And so we grew the church, you know, from there. Or God grew the church from there. We didn't grow the church. God grew the church from there. And so we were given a building in the next town over, and so it was a roller skating rink. So people used to call us the Holy Rollers because we had this, you know, this roller skating rink. And then we changed that all around and made a church out of it. And you know, some more people began to come to the church. And then we had a family gave us, and the church gave us a piece of land, and so we built a parsonage on about 4 miles out of town. And then we bought the back part of the roller skating rink, and we made a fellowship hall back there. And then the church continued to grow. We needed more room, and so we tore out all the stuff that we put in the first place and turned the sanctuary around a quarter of a turn and made it bigger. And so we went through a bunch of different building projects and those kinds of things. And so in 2019 of November, I knew it was time for us to not be the pastor of Faith Bible Church anymore. And so we handed in our resignation on November, I think it was the first Sunday in November of 2019. And I told the folks that we would, we were retiring, we were leaving. No, I never said retiring, I said we're going to be leaving. And I said, whenever we will stay until the end of 2020, because I didn't want, you know, some of the stuff that we had talked about, I didn't want, you know, all the responsibility to fall upon the deacons and, you know, for them to fill the pulpit and do all the, you know, church ministry. So I gave them a year and a couple months to, you know, to find somebody to take our place. So they found somebody to take our place in September. August, September, I forget when they were voted in, but they moved in, they moved to our town and took over the church in September of 2020, and then we moved to South Carolina in November of 2020, and then the next summer is when we actually started with the interim ministry with GFA. And so that sort of tells you a little bit about us. We have six kids. They are scattered around the countryside. We have one in New York, one in Connecticut, one in Louisiana, one in Minnesota, one in Michigan, and one in South Carolina. Thanks, honey. And I don't want to miss that. That's the baby of the family too. And so in this September, we're going to have grandchild number 20. So we have been really blessed by the Lord in all of those different ways. I'm not sure what else I would say about ourselves. That's sort of our, you know, that is our testimony of how we got saved, things we were involved in the ministry. There's a lot of other things that go along with that, you know, that are the details, but that's sort of the overview of us and our ministry and things that we have been involved in for the last 46 years. So thoughts, questions about us, our ministry, our questions in regard to that? Oh, I forgot to tell you that I follow the New York Yankees, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the UConn Huskies in basketball. So I know that that doesn't bid well with some of you, but I'm, you know, I'll forgive you if you forgive me. How about that? Thank you. And I like to play golf. I forgot to say that too. And my wife is a cross-stitcher. For any of you that are cross-stitchers, she's into that. Questions about any things that I've talked about during Sunday school? We want to thank you for allowing us to come and to share with you about GFA, about ourselves. Appreciate all the accommodations and to be able to stay in a authentic Swedish town. It's pretty exciting. And I guess it's exciting is the word for it, but we've had an enjoyable time. Had a good time meeting with Pastor and Jeffrey and Tracy on Friday night. We went on and on and on and on. I think what was like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning before we got done, wasn't it? Just, you know, you get those guys talking, you just can't get them to be quiet, but it wasn't that long. It was just a couple hours. And then last night we met with the trustees, had a good meeting with them, and then we went to Freddy's afterwards, and it's probably been the high point of the weekend so far, going to Freddy's. That ice cream is really good. I like that. Anyone else? Thoughts, comments?
Just wait till after church.
That'll be hot. You got it, man. I forgot to pray whenever we started. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
What other time have you spent in Kansas? And what does Kansas look like to you at this point?
I'm glad you said that, because that was another point that, you know, these points up here. There's another point that a person who, an interim pastor, can look at things from the outside that you guys all take for granted because you have looked at things, you know, this is just the way they are. And sometimes it's helpful to have some eyes from the outside to see some things a little bit differently. That's might be a blessing and an encouragement and a help. My time in Kansas, I can't remember what year it was, but the Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl that year. And the reason I know that is we drove from Arkansas up to Pittsburgh, Kansas, and I preached in a church in the Pittsburgh, Kansas area. And as we were driving back, I listened to the Super Bowl on the radio, and the Steelers won the I wanted to bring that up a couple times, that the Steelers won the won the Super Bowl. But that was our one experience in Kansas. The other experience in Kansas is my son, who is in the military, my second son, who's in the military. He was stationed in around Manhattan, Fort Riley. He was in Fort Riley, and so we were there for 2 or 3 days to visit him. He's not there anymore. He's in Louisiana now, but he was there for a couple of days. So we were there in, Kansas really reminds me of Western Michigan, in the fact that, you know, sort of some rolling hills and lots of fields and trees and that kind of thing. And so, you know, as long as it's nice and warm, I like it. Anyone else? Thought, comment, question? Whenever no one has any questions, one of two things has happened. You say, I'm ready to be done. Let's get out of here. I'm not going to, please don't anybody say another word, because that guy's going to go on and talk. One of those things. Or I have done such a good job in explaining everything that, you know, just have no questions at all. So I'm going to go with the second one as opposed to the first one and just make that assumption. Let's pray together. Our Lord, loving God, we thank you for an opportunity to get together to talk about the things that relate to Wheatland Baptist Church and interim ministry and what you would have to take place and go forward in the future. And we just give you praise, dear God, for all the years and of service that this church has been to this community, for the people who have gotten saved. And Lord, not just the ones who have gotten saved in the past, but the ones who are going to be saved in the future because of the ministry here. And we just ask, God, for you to make it very clear of what your plan, your will, and your direction is. And we give you the glory for your leadership. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.